Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056. Or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to everyone. We welcome you to our Tuesday night Bible study. We are so glad that you have decided to join us on tonight. We praise and thank God for each and every one of you. On behalf of our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his beautiful wife, Lady Zachary, we say welcome to Praise Tabernacle Church Tuesday night Bible study. We encourage you to get your Bible, to get your pencil and your paper, and to take notes and to study the Word of God also for yourself. Don't just take our word for it, but also go in and study the Word of God yourself. Our regular host, Elder Richard Taylor, is not with us on tonight, so I will serve as your host and your teacher. This is Evangelist Dove Stanton. I'm so glad and excited to be with each and every one of you on tonight. We pray that your last few days, your day-to-day, have been great. And if they haven't, we pray that you would trust God to make it better. We welcome everyone on the panel tonight. I'm not sure exactly who's all on, but we welcome every member of the panel on tonight. We won't be before you long, but we do have a word to be taught and to bring on tonight. So as you get your Bibles, I would like for you to turn to Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, and I would like to say a prayer before we get started in the Word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for health and strength. We thank you for your hand of mercy that allowed us to get up this morning and to continue throughout the day. We thank you for keeping us, Lord, that we made it here to Tuesday evening to Bible study. We pray, Father God, and submit and surrender myself unto you in the name of Jesus, that you would bring the word as you had given it to me. We pray your anointing, Father God, let your words be my words and let your thoughts be my thoughts. Let your way be my way in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that I would decrease, that you would increase in me, that somebody would get a word out of this lesson on tonight, that they would run on to see what the end is going to be. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory, God. Amen. Once again, I said that we're going to be coming out of Revelation chapter 3. We're going to be coming from verses 14 unto verses 22. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. And I will read the word first before we get in it to really examine what the word has to say. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I would spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now this, the book of Revelation is written, it was penned by John. He was exiled to the island of Patmos. And it's a very good book. I know a lot of times people stay away from the book of Revelation out of fear, but there's no need to stay away from this book in fear. You read and you pray and ask God to give you wisdom in this book. But John is penning this. So John chapter 3 is penning the revelation and the word and the wisdom that he got from God. So it starts off in verse 14. It says, and unto the angel of the church. So when I was reading this and studying it and looking it up, the angel of the church was considered something like the pastor, so, or the messenger. So he's saying, and unto the pastor of the church of the Laodiceans. So he was talking to this particular church, right, these things, saying, saith the Amen. And Jesus is addressing himself as the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So this is Jesus saying to John, to pen this for the pastors or the messengers of the word of the Laodiceans. And I might be saying that word wrong, so excuse me if I am. So he's saying, I need you to pen this. I need you to give this message to them. Verse 15 and verse 16, I'm actually going to break down together. It says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, right here, I want to give you some history that I found out about Laodicea. It is surrounded by two springs of water. It is surrounded with Kalash, which was tucked into the foot of Mount Honaz, where cold water would run off and pour down into the city supply of fresh water. So Kalash, which had cold water, it would run down into Laodicea, into their cold water source. And then the other water source was Hierapolis. Hierapolis was positioned as a hot spring, and it emitted mineral rich water. It attracted visitors from all over Asia to its therapeutic baths. So that water was also another source of water running down into Laodicea. So all three cities, it lies around the Lycus River Valley, but their water supplies distinguished each of them. Hierapolis had the hot water, which was beneficial for therapeutic purposes. Kalash had cold water, which was refreshing for drink. Now, Laodicea's piped water was best suited for textile industry because it was known for their textiles, according to biblical scholars. Their water was good for flushing the city's plumbing system. If you ingested their water, it would function almost like a medicinal medicine, causing you to vomit. Okay, so remember, I said you got the three springs of water surrounding that area, the two springs coming in, and then Laodicea's water. So you got Kalash, which had cold water, cold, refreshing, good water, and then Hierapolis, they had hot springs. And people loved it because it had very therapeutic baths. So here we are, and we know Jesus would speak a lot in parables, you know, because people understood, you know, he spoke about farming. He spoke about the seeds and the sower because people understood those things. So here we are, we have Jesus talking to the Laodiceans about being hot or cold. And he's saying in verse 15 and 16, he says, I know your works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. We got the cold water coming in and the hot water coming in. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. And remember I said, if you tap into their water services in the city, it would make you sick. You would have to spew it out of your mouth. So Jesus is almost talking in a parable saying you need to be either hot, like the therapeutic baths as a Christian, or you need to be cold, like the Kalash water, very refreshing. So God is saying, look, be either cold or hot, either be therapeutic Christian, like a therapeutic Christian, or a very refreshing Christian. Don't be lukewarm like that city's water, because all it makes you want to do is spit it out your mouth. Does anybody have anything they would like to say?
Real quick, you said that did they all flow together? or they were separate?
They were separate, and they flow into the city. So Kalash had their own water source. According to my study, Kalash has their own. Hierapolis has its own. Mm-hmm. So Kalash was tucked into the foot of the Mount Honaz, where cold mountain water, water would run off and pour down into the city supply. And then Hierapolis.
Okay, but all three of them ran through the city, but they didn't run together.
Yes.
They just were separate.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
Exactly. So, and then Laodicea, they had their own water source, and their water was good for the textile industry because their water had a lot of minerals in it. When I was doing my study, it had a lot of it had calcium carbonate. It was rich. Their water source had mineral that was rich in calcium carbonate, which they used for their city. I mean, Laodicea was known as a very rich city. Because of their textiles, and they made other things, which I am going to bring up. But here it is. It says, Jesus said, I know your works, that thou art neither cold or hot. So they understood, because they knew about the surrounding springs that they had in the city. And he said, I would that thou would be cold or hot. So either be refreshing. Be that refreshing Christian, you know, and it made me think of we're to be salt and light also, you know, as Christians, as people proclaiming to be Christians. And he's talking to the church. This is the church he's talking to. So he's saying, be refreshing, you know, be that Christian. But if you're going to be lukewarm, and like I said, their lukewarm water, it had a medicinal purposes almost. And if you took it in, it would make you vomit. So that's why he's saying, don't mm-hmm. be a lukewarm Christian. Make the mm-hmm. decision to serve Christ and to serve mm-hmm. him. Do you have anything you want to say, Evangelist?
No, you just have me really. I've never.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're bringing that out, it's cold. The cold waters and the hot waters are good, and it just have me thinking. It just have me. It's provoking my thinking, and it's really.
Yeah,
because
I've heard this scripture before. And I just really started praying and asking God to, you know, lead me in studying when I was studying it. And when I started studying it, I was like, oh, I didn't realize the springs that were surrounding Laodicea. And like I said, Jesus, you know, he speaks in a lot of parables where people understand. And the Laodiceans, they understood what he was saying because it's like, yes, we do have this water source that's coming in that's refreshing, and then the spring.
Right.
So it's like, look.
What the parable was saying. Yeah.
Right, exactly, what mm-hmm. he was saying to them. You know, they were like, mm-hmm. oh, yes. Does anyone else have anything they might want to say? Okay,
great lesson. Great subject. You're right on the parables. Wherever Jesus spoke of a parable, he knew his audience. He knew what mm-hmm. would catch their attention, what they would need to understand. How he did comparisons and the things you already know. And God will never mm-hmm. come to us with something unfamiliar with us to make it hard for us to understand. But he always comes to where we're at. Amen.
Exactly. Amen. And that's what he did with his church. And that's what he's doing with us. once again, verse 15 and 16, I know thy works. So he know, you know, this church. He knows you, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And then verse 17 says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So in my study of this, Laodicea was very wealthy, very wealthy. They were a textile industry. They produced black wool, very fine. They had commercial activity. They had local banking centers. They actually even had a medical school, according to my study. They had a medical school. They produced an eye ointment from a local stone in the region. And that's why I was talking about the calcium carbonate, because the doctors would shave off layers of the rocks and grind them into fine dust, and then submerge them into this mineral water that would result in an eye ointment that would help clear up infections. And so, like I said, they have textiles, they have banking, they have medical school, they have the ointment. So here in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. There was a time when there was a major earthquake in Laodicea, and they refused offers of help to rebuild because they felt that they could do it themselves, and they had all the resources they need, so they wouldn't even accept assistance from anybody else. And here Jesus is saying, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. So he's saying back to them, you know, you think you don't need anything. You think you don't need anybody. You think you don't need any assistance. But he's saying, and knowest not that you're actually wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So he hit them right at their resources, because he says, thou art wretched and miserable and poor. They actually have finances and blind. They have this ointment for the eyes and naked. And one of their great textiles is the wool clothing. So Jesus is saying to them, you have all these things, but you still naked. Just because of things. Yes.
And blind. Poor and blind.
Yes. You have money, but you poor. You have this eye ointment, but you can't see. Because without God, you are nothing.
Mm-mm. Nothing. Mm-mm.
See, your money, your clothes, your resources, they won't get you anywhere. Those are things in life. So they so focused on the things that they have. Now, these are the church people. They so focused on the things that they have, but not focused on having the relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, you may have many things, but that's just it. Those are things. You're depending mm-hmm. on the resources, and you're not depending on the source.
Amen. Amen.
You're depending on the resources, but you're not depending on the source.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had all those things. Jesus, God said, look, yeah, you have all of that, but you're poor.
Mm-mm.
But you're poor.
Mm-mm.
You say wow. you're rich. You say you increase with goods. You say you have no need of nothing. I don't need anything. Yes, you do. You need
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Amen.
You do. You need Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Your money is not gonna buy your way into heaven. It's
mm-hmm.
not gonna, your money is not gonna buy happiness. It's really not.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people with money and are miserable. There's people with money who ended their life because they were miserable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's people who may have even invented things and made serious money off of those things, just like Laodicea did. I mean, they were known for their textile, their wool clothes, their eye salve. They were known for all of that. But yet you can have all of that and still can't see.
But I was looking at what spill out is not spitting out, it's vomit from the belly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not just
yes.
from your mouth. It comes all the way down.
Right.
Have you ever, just think about spitting and vomiting.
Yes.
Okay, it's totally different.
How
it's a totally different feeling.
Right, because
okay,
it comes from your gut. Yeah, you got it. It comes from your gut.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
It comes from
you
your
will
gut.
You vomit you out. Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Not
comes
just
from
fit.
Your gut.
Fit is just like
right.
A, but when you vomit,
right.
I mean, just, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And that's what
this is good. This is good.
That's what God is saying to the church today. Standing for me. Are you standing for me? Are you being refreshing to others around you? You say that you love me, but are you standing for me? That's what he's saying to us. So verse 17 again, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Don't you even know that's what you are? But you think everything is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with the eye salve that thou mayest see. So God has given them the alternative to what they can do. He says, I'm counseling you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And when gold is tried in fire, it's purified. The impurities
mm-hmm.
are burnt out of it. So he's saying, look, come to me. So that you can be tried in the fire, so I can burn away those impurities, surrender them to me so that I can burn them away, so that you can be purified. Then thou mayest be rich. That's when you really got it going on. He said, once you get tried in the fire, then you're going to be rich. Then I'm going to give you a white remnant. See, I know your wool clothing looks good, but the white garment that I have for you, you can't even understand what this whiteness looks like. It's going to be a beautiful white garment. And thou mayest be clothed. That's when you really are clothed with your white garment, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. And anoint thine eyes with the eye salve that thou mayest see. Then your eyes will be opened. You think your eye salve, Laodicea, is some good stuff. But the eye salve that I have for you, your eyes truly will be opened. So God is offering you an alternative to your life. He's offering you. He's saying, I know you have all these things. I know you have the riches that you think you have and the fine clothes and the cars and all of that, but I have a better offer for you, that if you come and be tried by the fire, in the fire, I can burn away the impurities if you submit and surrender yourself to me. And with that, then you're rich. Then you have the fine white remnant. Then you really are clothed. There's no shame in your nakedness, because you won't be naked anymore. Your eyes, oh my God, your eyes will be able to see. Does anyone have anything they would like to say?
Yes, like you said, about the gold and the clothes, only what you do for Christ don't last. It's a warning to us. This is, I think, the last church, and it was the worst one. And it's like, come on, we're in the last days. If we can't see these things happening right now in our churches and in our communities, God is trying to warn us. God is trying to tell us, you know, get it together. It's not about all the fine, you know, things, what we think is fine things in life. My husband and I are right now getting rid of some cars in the driveway. Getting rid of stuff. We're getting rid of stuff. It's just stuff. Why are we holding on to stuff and missing Christ?
Yes. I wrote,
either you're going to be hot or cold.
Yes.
I mean, if you want to go to hell, go to hell. Okay, go to hell. Don't do it in the church.
Right.
Just go to hell. Just go. Do what you want to do, but don't do it in the church. Don't do it for Christ's sake. You know, in the name of Jesus. Do it in the name of Satan.
Right. Because God sees us.
Giving believers a bad rap, a bad name. But either you hot or cool, you can't give Christ a bad name if you're walking upright. If you're doing what you're supposed to do all the time, not just when somebody's watching.
Right.
But all the time.
Especially when you're by yourself. Yes. I mean, it's that self-examination as to when you are by yourself.
What you doing with your
time? And if you were to look in on you, if you were to look in on you, what does it look like? For real. If you were to look in on you, once we got off this telephone on tonight, seriously, and if you could look in on you, what would it look like? What is it that you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
you know. So I wrote Laodicea was focused on its earthly comfort and prosperity.
Yes.
But Jesus wants us to focus on him. Because if we keep our focus on him, he's going to supply everything that we need. He's going to make sure everything, all our needs are taken care of.
That's right.
You know, and just like the Laodicea church, where do we see ourselves today, right now? Do a lot of us see ourselves like this church?
Getting all we can and canning all we get.
Right, right. That's it. Verse 19. That's it. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And here Jesus is saying, in spite of their wretched, their poor, blind, and naked condition, Jesus still loves them enough that he rebukes and disciplines, because he rebukes and disciplines those whom he loves. He's still giving them the opportunity to repent.
Look, this reminds me of what my mama used to tell me. I'm only whipping you because I love you.
Love you. Yeah.
Right. I'm like, can you love me a little less?
Because she loves you.
But it's
because
true.
She want to see you do better. Right.
Exactly.
Because she want to see you do better.
Yes, and I was the worst of the worst. And I don't wonder why my grandkids and are just don't want to listen. They get it from their granny.
Right.
But I'm just saying, but guess what? Them whippings, and it took me a while to catch on.
Right.
That's all God wanted to do. Just get it.
Just
he
get
loves
it.
Each and every one of us. Okay? Each and every one of us. What is it what we have to go through to get what he's saying? God is not a God. I mean, I'm telling you, if we keep doing what we want to do, I promise you, if you just surrender and repent like God said, once I said, I'm done. When I say I'm done with the world, I went so far, and God is my witness. My husband will tell you, I enjoy drinking on the weekends with my friends. I enjoy it. Was I a drunk? I don't believe I was a drunk because I didn't drink every day. I just did it on the weekends. But when I did, I got tore up. I didn't just drink. I drank to get tore up. But when I stopped, I said, Lord, before I take another drink, kill me first. While I'm still in your presence. You hear me? Kill me.
Because your desire is to please him, and you don't want to do anything that just right.
If I die tomorrow, the thought say, well, you know what? She got caught up with God, and she must have was getting ready to, no, kill me first. That's how serious I'm about my walk. Kill me first before I go back to doing all the foolish stuff that I used to do.
Well, that scripture even says, be zealous, therefore, and repent.
Exactly.
And that's an example of that. Because, you know what, Evangelist, you don't want to hurt God. You don't want to hurt him. You don't want to have that feeling of, I disappointed you. You know, and the thing about it is, if we do, and when we do, he doesn't turn his back on us.
Exactly.
He's still there loving us. But I get what you're saying, because it's like, God, I don't want to disappoint you with something. Like you said, somebody else may feel like, oh, it's okay to do that every now and then. But for you, it's like, no, I don't want to do that because I don't want to disappoint you.
Because it was more, too, I didn't just drink. I fought.
I mean, it was a lot, too, when I was drinking, okay? Mm-hmm. I did a lot while I was drinking. And one of them was I beat you behind and ask questions later, okay? And that was one of the things, that, I mean, but I can't do that anymore. I can't.
Right.
God is such a gentleman.
Yes, he
when
is.
When I let him in, he can't, I mean, when I opened up my doors and my heart,
yeah,
and let him in, he didn't have to beat me, he didn't have to drag mm-hmm. me, he didn't have to break my arm, mm-hmm. he didn't have to do none of that.
Right.
And he's been there since we, I didn't even know the time he was there.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. The
right.
times I've driven myself home drunk, didn't even know how I got home.
Mm.
Could have drowned in the pool, came home soaking wet. So they said I jumped in the pool.
Right,
you
but
know,
he allowed you. Right, he allowed you to get
yes.
home safe. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But thank
How
God it led you to.
Right.
And it led you to
but
repentance.
Just opening. Yes. But
mm-hmm.
I didn't even know Christ.
It led you to
I didn't
repentance.
Know Christ. I didn't, but mm-hmm. no, I didn't know Christ at all. None.
Right.
Didn't know nothing about him. Nothing. I was in my 20s, didn't know nothing.
Mm.
But Apostle Gary B. McLaurin from North Fayetteville, North Carolina. Okay, and when I tell you if it wasn't for him, I'm telling you, ain't no telling where me and my husband, we'd probably be divorced because I probably would have beat him half to death. But I'm just saying.
You can't say what didn't happen. You can't say what the future is because could have been a different way. But I thank God.
You're right.
For you
could have killed me.
Don't be saying you're gonna be doing. You could have, girl.
Okay, you guys.
Same neighborhood you come from now.
Okay,
that leads me. Amen. That leads me to my next scripture.
Okay.
Okay, that leads me to my next scripture. Behold, Evangelist already, you know, when she was talking about the door of our heart, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And just like Evangelist was saying, you know, he's such a gentleman. He's standing there at the door knocking. It's up to you to answer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's up to you to answer. He doesn't force himself mm-hmm. upon you. He patiently
nope.
waits to be invited into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. this is the church. This letter is to the church. So he's saying to members who are supposed to be Christians, behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. Are you
mm-hmm.
living for me? Have you really invited me in? Have you really accepted me in? Have you really decided and made the decision that you're going to live for me? He's talking
mm-hmm.
to the church.
Yep.
Not
He's standing at the door, right. Mm-hmm. He's talking to the church.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is self-examination time. And I say it every now and then, this is self-examination time, especially for those who are listening tonight, who go to church or listen to church online or however you do in church right now. He's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into mm. him and will sup with him and he with me. Have you really made a decision to give your life to Christ? Self-examination. Have you really made the decision to give your life to Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Because he loves you.
Amen.
there may have, like in verse 19, there may have to be some rebuke and some chastening in your life because you're holding on to things, you're holding on to situations, you're holding on to relationships tighter than you will hold on to God.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hold on to things and people tighter. You'll depend on things and people more than you depend on God.
Yeah.
Does anybody have anything they would like to say?
I'm just enjoying the scripture going line upon line. And just mm-hmm. self-examination, like you said.
Yeah. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Wow. Listen to that. To him that overcometh. That's for if you can hold on. If you can hang in there, if you trust God, if you can walk by faith and not by sight, if you can read the word of God, if you can pray, praise, have a relationship with him, if you can continue to live with a repentant heart, not intentionally sin, but if you mess up,
right,
you repent. To him that overcometh, if you can hang in there and do what the word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your might. Submit yourself to him. Surrender yourself to him. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me. Live a repentance life. Repent for sins knowingly and unknowingly. Read the word of God daily. Pray daily. Give thanks daily. Share the word of God with somebody else. Share the good news. Be a witness as to what he did in your life. He's going to grant you to sit with him, even as he overcame and is sitting down with the Father. Just as Jesus lived this life, he walked this earth too. He was tried. He was talked about. He was whipped. He was rejected. But yet he overcame. It wasn't easy. It's not easy every day. There are going to be some tears. Jesus cried. There's going to be some tears. But if you can hold on, if you can overcome, if you can overcome, if you can hang in there, if you can say, God, I still give it to you, no matter what it looks like. If you can have a nevertheless in your mouth, just as he did, nevertheless. He knew what he had to endure for us. But nevertheless, he still overcame. He was rejected. You may feel like you've been rejected. People that you love and care about turned their back on you. But you can still overcome. If you can overcome, what you're going to be able to walk into is nothing compared to what we have here. And verse 22 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit unto the churches. Keep the door open for Jesus to enter every area of your life. Listen to what he's saying. Allow his word to renew your mind. Allow his word to change your heart. Allow his word to guide you, to order your footsteps. He loves you enough that he does rebuke and chasten us when we need it. It's for our good. It's working for our good. Respond to his call. Respond to his call. Welcome him in to your heart. Make a decision that you want to fully live for Christ. There may be days you mess up, but I'm not talking about intentionally. I'm not talking about when you sit down and you thinking about you're going to sin and you're gonna what you're going to go do and how you're going to do it and all of that. No, that's willfully sinning. But once you have decided to repent and to live for him, answer the door of him knocking at your heart and opening the door, continually trying to stay in his presence through prayer and praise and worship and talking to him, shutting the things out of the world and depending upon God, that's an awesome thing. Does anybody have anything they would like to say?
Yes, Yvette, can I say one more thing? I know that you and my wife have had a great conversation, great teachings. This particular scripture and the way you taught it, the comments my wife made, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, but no matter where you stand with God, no matter what you think your position is, being it an elder or anything, your position in God is scriptures that this way it was taught would have you to think. It would provoke your thinking. Because we all have moments where we think we may be having an escape part of the day, an escape part of the night, a moment where we may to ourselves and be less than what we should be. We all have those moments. But we try to catch up and repent for those moments. But we all have those moments. So the teachings tonight, which were line upon line and precept upon precept, and comments that helped us understand what these scriptures are saying, should place us all in a stop moment and think about where you actually stand with and what Jesus did for us. So he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what Spirit says unto the church, that last verse. And the way you taught it, I understand it even more. And I appreciate you.
Amen.
Good lesson.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. To God be the glory. I pray, thank and praise God for this lesson on tonight because it pierced my heart as well. And like Elder said, no matter what station you are in life, we all have that moment to examine and to repent. And I thank God for that. Does anyone else have anything to say before we get ready to close out? We just thank God for each and every one of you that was listening tonight. We pray that you got something out of the lesson on tonight that will make you decide to go on a little bit farther. And
Evangelist, Stan, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Yes.
I'm sorry. I was talking and I was muted. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say great lesson, and I just wanted you to know I learned an awful lot. I didn't know about the water stream. I didn't know. I looked at that totally different, but now you gave me a new insight on how to look at it. And again, great lesson. I just wanted to say that before you close out.
Praise God. Thank you, sir. To God be the glory. Amen.
Evangelist. And
yes,
one,
ma'am.
One more thing real quick. And I just want to read 20 again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, and he with me. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist. I appreciate that. We are so excited for each and every one of you being with us on tonight. We pray that even after we get off the phone tonight, that, like I said, if you would just take that look at yourself, what do you see? We pray that you have a great week this week. We pray that you would trust and renew your mind in the Word of God, not to depend upon your resources, but to depend on the source, Jesus Christ. Just a reminder, Monday night is D&K Bible Break. That's with our own Elder Derek Oliver and his beautiful wife, Kisa, at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. Tuesday night, of course, is our Bible study at 7 p.m. Thursday is Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries at 7 p.m. And then we have Sunday morning live at the Tabernacle at 9 a.m. That is on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook Live. We just pray that you continue to join us. Monday night is great. I hope you guys can listen in on Monday night. And then our Tuesday night Bible study, we pray that you get something out of that. We ask that you just go back and study the Word of God. Also, that was presented to you each Bible study. Go back and study and see what the Lord is speaking to you concerning the lesson. And if all is finished, we are going to say our Great Commission, and then I will pray us out. Our Great Commission is coming out of Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, and it reads, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for tonight, this lesson. We thank you for the understanding that we got out of this lesson. We pray, Father God, that if you're standing at the door of our hearts, that we would answer that call, that we would open up the door, any of us, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that we can be transparent with you because, God, you see all anyway. We just thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We pray for any sick, for any that may be among us that are not feeling well or dis-ease. We pray, Father God, your word. And according to your word, it says that by your stripes we are healed. So we stand upon your promises, God. We stand upon your word. We don't lean and depend on ourselves, God. We thank you for the doctors who you give wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But we know, God, that you have the final say-so. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. Good night, everybody. Be blessed and stay encouraged.